Morning, you.
You alright?
I hope you are. I genuinely hope you are.
Hope you had a great day yesterday, enjoyed the sun. Kept safe, no heat stroke, anything like that. Can actually be dangerous, can't it? Alright, it is just past, ticked past 8 in the AM British summer time on Tuesday the 26th of May. In the year of our Lord, 2026, you're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best people in the world, the best among us. Watching the Bo Show live, getting involved in the chat, you know. Doing the poll, it's free, why not get involved? Doing a super chat or something. Brilliant. What more could a boy ask for? As always, not as always, but back, fresh, new, returning, my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Ooh. Disembodied voice of the all-powerful producer there. Should we just get straight into it? Stop faffing about. Why all the fannying about? There's no need for all that fannying about. Let's just get on with it. What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What are they trying to lie to you about by omission, if by nothing else? What have we got? Well, first of all, it was a hot day yesterday, and today is set to be even hotter, apparently. We've got Harry, do you want to bring that up? So there you go. They go with bank hottest day Monday. Bit tortured, but okay. Bank hottest day Monday, and Sturgeon's ex-husband uses SNP cash. So the main story today on Fleet Street is about Nicola Wee Jimmy Cranky Sturgeon. Wee Jimmy Cranky's in a spot of bother. We'll get into it. And it was hot. Okay, first of all then, straight up, right off the bat, the Metro. Ugh. That is gross. it's sickening, though, isn't it? The Metro. Sickening. God, it is warm in here. Look, I've got a slight sheen myself. Whew. It's not even 8:05 in the morning. Baking hot. All right. This in the afternoon on the main podcast of Loadseaters, it's going to be like a sauna in this room because all the video screens, loads of lights. All right. Yesterday, in some places, it was as hot as 34.8 degrees centigrade. Phew, what a scorcher. If anyone's foreign, English people, British people, often call a really hot day a scorcher. That's all that is. Bank hottest day Monday. Like bank holiday Monday, because it was a bank holiday Monday as well. Bank holiday Monday. Bank hottest day Monday. All right. Yeah, it's the front page of the Metro, and it's on the front page of a few of the others, that it was just a hot day. Or the hottest bank holiday Monday ever, they were saying. It was one in, like, 1944 that was nearly as hot. This one was hotter. And today's supposed to be as hot, if not hotter. So just do make sure you, if you burn, if you've got a propensity to burn, like I have, just make sure use enough sunscreen, otherwise enjoy it, right? What's the problem? Highest temperature ever recorded in May, and forecast says today could be warmer. All right, you get it. I try not to bang on about that today, although the papers do. Again, for people that actually live in hot countries, you're probably thinking, what? That's totally average. That's not bad. That's not... Why are you talking about it? Why are you going on about it? Well, we're a wind-swept, rain-driven island in the North Atlantic Ocean, so we're not used to that sort of thing. All right, if we get on to Wee Jimmy Cranky, the Times, the venerable Times. Wee Jimmy Cranky's estranged husband admits embezzling £400,000 from the Scottish National Party. Pardon me. I do beg your pardon. Should we get into it? I'll explain it as if you don't know the story, because the story's old. It's been rumbling on for years and years and years, but I'll explain it as if you don't know. So there'll be some people that don't. All right. So, after Tony Blair devolved Scotland and they got their own little parliament thing, Holyrood, isn't it? I'd reverse devolution if it was me in Bose Britain. Anyway, a few years after that, this woman called Nicola Sturgeon, in fact, let me just show you a picture of her. Oh, look, there she is. This woman, Nicola Sturgeon. Yeah, that's a woman, yeah. became the first minister of Scotland. Let's get a better picture for so you can see. There you go, look, that woman. Wee Jimmy Cranky. She became the first minister of Scotland for the SNP, Scottish National Party. And this was her husband, Peter Morrell, his name is. But he was also the chief executive of SNP. So, one of, if not the most powerful person in the whole party. Well, not as powerful as the leader, of course. Perhaps you might make, you might characterise it that like the deputy leader was more powerful than him. But in various senses, in lots of senses, he was the most powerful person, certainly under her, as chief executive. Like, he sort of stood above the treasurer of the party and stuff like this. He was basically in charge of the party. If she's in charge of policy, he's actually in charge of like the day-to-day running of everything. And they were married, right? So it's like a real power couple. Right? For a few years there, quite a few years, all through the 2010s sort of times, and even into the very early 2020s, they were like the power couple of Scotland. You know, you get it? Like, their household would be, it is the SNP, you know. If you wanted to get on in the SNP in any way, you'd want to have to curry favour with the Sturgeons or the Morrells. Okay, so there's that. Turns out he was just completely corrupt. Turns out he was just completely corrupt, embezzling, stealing 400 grand. Just definitely, I mean, he pled guilty yesterday. So he definitely did. All right. Why do I keep calling her Wee Jimmy Cranky, by the way? Anyone who doesn't know. People that are British and old enough will know, but a lot of people... Like, Harry, I guess you don't know. You never heard of the show The Crankies?
No.
Okay. So what it was, back in the 1980s, there was a kids' show called The Crankies. They were Scottish as well, like super Scottish. Hey, The Crankies. That was a terrible Scottish accent. There you go. Look, there's an iconic image of The Crankies. There's Ian Cranky and Wee Jimmy Cranky. There you go. And the conceit of the show, the comedy, was derived from the fact that Wee Jimmy Cranky was a really naughty little schoolboy. That's basically what it was. He's a really naughty little schoolboy who caused chaos and did and said crazy, outlandish things. Kids' comedy, very, 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 very PG. You know, very, very kid-friendly. It was a naughty little schoolboy and, like, the exasperated father. Right? By the way, Wee Jimmy Cranky isn't a little boy. It's a woman. They're married in real life. Right? These are the people in real life nowadays. They're called Tough, aren't they? Ian Tough and Jeanette Tough, I think. Anyway. Right? Yeah, she's just really little. You know, like, some women are really small, like 4'9" or whatever. Okay, she's tiny. And she looks, Wee Jimmy Cranky looks a little bit like Nicola Sturgeon. And they're really Scottish as well, like super Scottish. And one of the catchphrases Wee Jimmy Cranky would say would be, fan dabby dozy. Fan dabby dozy. And that's sort of it. There's not much more to explain than that. But also, I think Nicola Sturgeon hates being called Jimmy Cranky. Wee Jimmy Cranky. But it's funny, isn't it? I've always thought that was hilarious. Because I remember The Crankies as a little kid. It was back in the 80s when there were only a few channels and everyone would watch the same channels. All the kids would watch the same BBC kids shows. So everyone would know Wee Jimmy Cranky. All right, we can move on. Although I say she hates it, but she has actually leaned into it once or twice a little bit, because the other thing, as well as saying, fan dabby dozy, Wee Jimmy Cranky would also do that thumbs up thing, this double thumbs up thing. That was like and you can find a picture or two of Nicola Sturgeon actually doing that, i.e., you know, sort of accepting it. All right, I'll move on from talking about The Crankies. Peter Morrell is a criminal, a financial criminal, like, definitely. Let's go back to the first front page. What was it? Was it in the Metro? The actual Metro? No, the Times, sorry. In the Times. All right. Jimmy Cranky's husband admits embezzling 400 grand. So he was like, as I say, as a chief executive, he sat above the treasurer of the party even. And over years, like 20 years or 15 odd years, he just stole money from the SNP and just spent it on himself. And, well, them, their household. When he was first arrested, they said, you stole something in the order of 460 grand. 459 grand or whatever. But when it actually went to court, his trial started yesterday, it was reduced to just over 400 grand. And he pleaded guilty to all of that. Because some of the people in the SNP, sort of diehard, hardline SNP people, were like, this is all just a witch hunt. It's all trumped up charge. When it gets to court, you'll see. You'll see Peter Morrell didn't do anything wrong. This is all just anti-SNP. No, he pleaded guilty. He did it. What did he buy? He bought some funny things. Well, the main thing is he bought a camper van. Because that was one of the first things that got people like wait, what? How are you buying a 130, 135 grand camper van? We know your salary. Sort of everyone knows your salary. You're not that rich. How are you doing that? And well, at one point, the SNP had done like some sort of round of fundraising for independence, a new independence campaign. That's all the SNP care about. Oh, and flooding their own country with Bamalians. Crazy socialist things. The SNP are really for price caps. I saw one of their guys, the bald guy, not Swinney, the other SNP bald guy, on Newsnight the other night, arguing for price caps. What an idiot, psycho. What an idiot. Okay, anyway. They really care about independence. They despise English people and Westminster so much that they'll destroy their own country just to spite Westminster. Filth. When I got in trouble with Hope Not Hate and then deselected from Reform, one of the things they deliberately took me out of context for was I was slagging off Scots. In fact, I was on the front page of the Daily Record, a Scottish socialist rag. They put me on their front page. Saying Farage hopeful, Farage wasn't even leader of the party at the time. Farage hopeful slags off Scots or something. I wasn't slagging off Scots. I was in a conversation with Graham Moore. I was quoting Edward I Longshanks slagging off Scots. I was slagging off the SNP, as I shall do again this morning. I wasn't slagging off all Scots. They just completely lie about that. Just completely lie about that. Take it out of context. Got quite a few Scottish friends. Wosey. Drinker, dank. None of them got a problem with what I did and said, none of them. Because I wasn't slagging off all Scots. That's what they do, don't they? That's what they do. No doubt at some point there'll be some sort of Twitter storm and or in the actual media about me at some point, to do with Restore or whatever. Scott hater. Bodaid. You slagged off Scots. It's all there in that Graham Moore video if you ever want to find it. Anyway. The SNP are filth. They're absolute filth. They're mad. Their policies are mad. Like, suicidal on like a national level. Arch-socialists, really. What a crazy thing that they're called nationalists, the Scottish Nationalist Party. But nearly all their policies are not in the interests of that nation. Subversive, disgusting. Okay, so anyway, they did a round of funding and raised something like 600 grand. And then somebody, whether it was the treasurer or someone else, saw the SNP bank account and then there was only 100 grand in there. And they were like, wait a minute, that's a bit suspicious. Like, well, didn't we just raise 600 grand? Like, where is it? Alarm bell started ringing. Big investigation. Then about, what is it, 2 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago at this point, I can't remember, Nicola Sturgeon and the SNP were riding high in the polls. Nicola Sturgeon, Wee Jimmy Cranky, just does a press conference going, in a few weeks, I'm going to stand down as leader. I'm done with politics. That sort of thing. And everyone's like, oh, really? Why's that? She didn't give like a really, really good, solid reason or anything. Just like, okay. Because no one knew about all this in the background. No one. Well, it's a small number of people. The vast majority of the world had no idea this was in the pipeline. She obviously did. She's like, I'm going to stand down. A few weeks later comes the date that she'd set to stand down. She stands down. 1 week after that, the police raid her house and some other offices in Edinburgh. You might remember that. You might remember that. Where the police put up one of those, like, forensic-style tents out the front of their house. There's no need to. It's not like it was a murder scene, of course. Some SNP people said that was overkill. The police are, like, doing some sort of stunt, political stunt here. The police said, oh, we only put that up because we didn't want helicopter cameras and reporters to see, physically see what we were taking out of the house and stuff. Like, loads of police vans on their driveway of their house. Their relatively normal-sized house. Okay, so that happened. Timing of that is a bit weird, though, isn't it? The police, like, a bit perfect from their point of view. Well, it's not perfect. It's terrible. It's massively scandalous, isn't it? But anyway, a little bit perfect. They're like, surely the police had told Jimmy Cranky, that they were going to do this. They were going to do a sweep and they were going to arrest him, her husband, Peter Morrell. Well, she was arrested as well and questioned and then released without charge. As were a few other, at least one other person in SNP. Like, I think the actual treasurer was also arrested and questioned, but then released without charge. I.e. being that it was just him alone. It was just Peter Morrell, completely on his, a lone wolf embezzler, serial embezzlement machine. Over 10 years, or 20 years, or whatever. But okay, he bought, what did he do with the money? He bought a camper van. He bought two different cars. Like, one was a Jag, not a good Jag, a Jaguar car. Where's he buy? Look, there's a little list here. He bought a coffee machine that cost over $3,000. They're just sort of luxury items for, like, his household, it seems. Right? A dressing table and tea set worth over $3,000. A robotic lawnmower worth over $3,000. Salt and pepper grinders worth 2,600 quid. That's not easily done. That's not... what were they made out of? Silver? Oh, that was another thing. He bought a silver wine coaster. That was one thing he bought worth a few grand. It's an extravagance, isn't it? Just a coaster. This one's better. This bespoke one. Do you remember when I showed you someone made that? Someone fashioned that out of slate. That's cool, though, isn't it? I love that. I use that every day, if you haven't noticed. Thanks for the person that sent that in. He bought a silver one, a solid silver one. It was like a few grand. Like, just a complete extravagance, really. A pendant, a gold pendant. He bought three Nintendo 3DSs. A PS3, that must have been a few years ago, right? That must have been in the early 2000s. You wouldn't buy a PS3 these days, would you? But he bought a PS3 and a load of games. FIFA, Battlefield. He was into FIFA and Battlefield. All right. £110 pencil sharpener. That's Brewster's Millions territory for me. Like, deliberately spending as much as you possibly can on something. I didn't think £110 pencil sharpener existed. Again, is it made out of, like, platinum or something? 102 quid on chopsticks. What? Timberlands, he's got a pair of Timberlands. So, a man's onesie. He likes being comfortable, Peter Morrell. Sitting around the house, playing FIFA on his PS3 in his onesie. Plotting how to steal more money from people that just want Scottish independence. It goes on. There's one there, like £4 on Staples. Is that not a legit business expense? Could that not be? I feel like you could legit say, well, no, that was for party business. £2.50 on hand cream. Let's get in a bit. That's a bit petty, even for me. But anyway, 400 grand. It adds up to just over 400 grand. And he pleaded guilty. There you go. Little Penfold dude. Little fat Penfold. All right, that's basically it. Well, they're the facts of it. The next thing is really, the question is really, how did Wee Jimmy Cranky herself not know? Well, she would say, it came as a complete shock to me. I had no idea. How did you have no idea? You would have known, you must have known what his salary was, what his actual salary was. Suddenly you're like, how comes we've got a Jag now? Can we afford that solid silver coaster you just bought? Sorry, Peter, are you sure we should be spending like $2,500 on... you get it. How would she not have known? Oh, we've just got a new camper van now, have we? All right. But can we afford that one? We're supposed to accept that he was just like, pipe down, Nicola. Shh, 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 shh. Let the men deal with the money. Don't worry your pretty little head about money issues. Let the man of the house worry about that. And she was like, oh, okay, dear. Okay. That's what we're supposed to expect. That's what we're supposed to buy. That was what their household was like. Because she'll say, I was arrested and questioned by the police extensively. They did a full investigation and I was cleared of any wrongdoing. They didn't find that I'd done anything wrong at all. I'm perfectly innocent. Well, they didn't have any evidence. They couldn't prove. It's sort of quite a difficult thing to prove, isn't it? If you and he both absolutely insist that she knew nothing about it, and she sticks to that story under questioning, and there's no paper trail, there's no evidence, then the police won't be able to arrest you and charge you with anything, will they? But yeah, the reality, the real, real reality of their relationship and their household. How could she not have known? It's not really plausible that she didn't know, is it? Well, there you go. That's basically it in a nutshell. It's all over the papers today. When it comes up in a minute, we'll skate over it a bit because that's it. That's basically what's going on. And his trial started yesterday. They're estranged now or divorced entirely. They're not together anymore. She just distanced herself from him. You know, like that time when Winnie Mandela was embroiled in murders, kidnaps and murders. And Nelson Mandela sort of had to divorce her and leave her. It's often the way, isn't it, in politics? If your spouse does something bad enough, you just have to, for political reasons, if nothing else, you have to leave them. Like Melinda Gates, not that Bill Gates is a politician, but you get it. It's so scandalous. One of the examples where that didn't happen is Hillary Rodham Clinton, isn't it? With the Lewinsky thing and other things Bill did. She stood by her man the whole time. Which is weird. Okay, they're estranged now. She's insisting she knew nothing. I don't buy it. I just simply don't believe you, Nicola. Okay. Social media is new smoking, media warns, i.e. very, very bad for one's health. Social media is the new smoking, medics warn. Pressure grows on PM to back ban for under 16s. Well, okay, we've sort of been there, haven't we? We've sort of gone through it a bit. They tried to do that, and it didn't get through Parliament. Isn't that right? The Australians did it, and it doesn't look like it's a particularly successful policy. Like, no one's happy with it. It doesn't actually particularly help. Well, it's just part of, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, it's just part of Operation Creep to just censor the internet in general, isn't it? They'll start with under-16s. They'll start by guilt-tripping you into the fact that it's hurting children. And before you know it, we've got the same sort of internet that the Chinese have. I.e., you only get to see what they want you to see.
All right.
But they'll find some expert, some medic somewhere, who says it's dangerous. It's as dangerous as smoking. And they'll just use that to guilt you. Quite literally just guilt you. Hotter than Hanoi. Hanoi in Vietnam, that is. Hotter than Southeast Asia. Yesterday in Britain. 34.8 degrees centigrade in UK. Marks May record. Okay. You know a Monet painting? Famous Monet painting? There it is in real life. In Britain. I mean, deliberately, this landscape is deliberately sort of designed and contrived to look like that painting. But it does though, doesn't it? Nice though. Of course. Monet's one of the few impressionists I actually like. He painted like that same pond over and over and over again. Like obsessive compulsive disorder. Anyway, there it is sort of in real life. On a lovely hot bank holiday Monday. Nice. Awesome. Like it. All right, the eye paper. Wee Jimmy Cranky and her corrupt husband. We got it. Wee Jimmy Cranky and Penfold in the spotlight. All right. Andrew received expenses boost as trade envoy after review he ordered. Classic Andrew, isn't it? Classic Andy. Just trying to rinse the state for as much as possible at all times. Taking the absolute mickey in every direction at all times. Thought he could do anything. Thought there would never be any repercussions for him. Ever. He ordered a review into his own expenses that were already sort of very high to get more and was given it. The little blurb says, the former prince was able to secure an increase in his taxpayer funding expenses after commissioning report, he commissioned a report into his role as trade envoy that found he was a, quote, highly valuable UK asset, quote. Well, as the Queen's second son, like what, at the time, like fourth in line to the throne? He's not now because Wills has got kids, but at the time, sort of absolutely 100% one of the most senior royals. So in that sense, he's a highly valued UK asset, okay. In terms of, like, his actual value, sort of that trade envoy role and to the UK government. No, it's obviously a massive detriment, wasn't he? Obviously a massive embarrassment going around the world. Well, perhaps even perhaps allegedly involved in full sex crime, human trafficking, perhaps even giving sensitive information to Jeffrey Epstein, effectively a foreign agent. Jeffrey Epstein, an American who was trained in espionage by Ehud Barak. Okay. Oh, Ehud Barak, sorry. You not heard that name? You don't know Ehud Barak? Oh, he was like the defense minister and then prime minister for Israel. Super senior statesman for Israel. Oh, and in charge of all the military. He's been a defense minister, in charge of all the military, in charge of all the intelligence services, Israeli intelligence services, prime minister as well at one point. Right, couldn't be more senior Israeli, couldn't be more plugged in, particularly with the military and the military intelligence of Israel. And those FBI documents in that DOJ dump explicitly said that he had trained Epstein in, like, spy games. They don't talk about that, do they? The cabal of corporate mainstream media, the cabal of those editors seem to omit that, don't they? Every single day. Accidentally fail to mention that every single day, don't they? And Andy may have been, depending on what the final investigations say, may have been just passing Epstein information, sensitive information. It's a bit more than just being his friend, isn't it? It's a bit more than just Epstein and Andrew were just friends. Oh, involved in all sorts of nefarious things. Quite possibly illegal things. Up to and including treason. human trafficking, sex crime. Meanwhile, the Duke make the prince makes himself a highly valued UK asset to get himself more money. Buckingham Palace documents contained in the Epstein files say the government agreed and quote and provided quote a strong endorsement with increased funding to support the Duke's activities. It was a Prince and a Duke, by the way. Don't worry about it. I don't want to explain it, but Mountbatten Windsor, that is Andrew, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, ordered review after being criticised for lavish spending. So he's being criticised for spending too much, so he contrived it to get more. And is now under investigation for misconduct in public office over friendship with billionaire Epstein. Was Epstein really a billionaire? Like, really, in his own right? Wasn't he born just a normal person in terms of money in Coney Island? So how is he a billionaire? How did he make all that money? What, Les Wexner gave it to him? Again, the legacy corporate mainstream media, they don't talk about that very often. Why did Les Wexner give Jeffrey Epstein at least access to billions of dollars? No, they don't want to talk about that. They won't talk about that. Hey guys, today, talk about Wee Jimmy Cranky, yeah? And talk about how hot it was yesterday, yeah? Don't talk about Les Wexner and Ehud Barak though, like every day, yeah? Good. What, is that not what's going on? Have I mischaracterised things? Right. Okay. The Guardian. Ooh. Ooh. Don't do that. The Guardian. Okay. Former SNP chief Peter Morrell admits 400 grand embezzlement. Right, got it. This is interesting. Reeves instructs cabinet ministers to buy British. Apparently in cabinet recently, she said to some of the other senior ministers that are in charge of budgets in their own departments, if you're going to do like some sort of massive procurement thing, pick a British company to do it. Right? I don't know. It was randomly off the top of my head, the Department of Transport. They need to buy millions of pounds worth of steel or something. By British. And she's disappointed that they don't do that already, that it's not sort of de rigueur, that's not already the case as a matter of course. She's annoyed that they're letting so much money leave Britain. Are you joking? Are you joking? Aren't you in charge of budgets where we just give away tons of money in foreign aid? We just give billions to Ukraine over and over again. That we're going to build an airport in Pakistan, and you're annoyed that it's a bit rich, isn't it? Rachel Thieves from Accounts is annoyed that other government departments aren't buying British. Okay. Iran dismisses US claim of imminent peace deal. Didn't I say yesterday? If you watched the Bo show yesterday, it was all over the news, wasn't it? Trump and Rubio got high hopes for a deal. A deal is imminent. I don't think so. Well, Iran just came out and said, no, it isn't. It's one of those laughs of, like, despair. right, so they want to make a deal, don't they? Should we go over it all again? There's no need, really. The US want to make a deal with Iran, and they keep saying we're close to a deal. Just give us a few more days, we'll make a deal. Trump doesn't make bad deals. He's holding out for a good deal. And Iran's like, no, this... He wants to give up our uranium enrichment program and control over the Straits of Hormuz, and we simply won't do that. Your move. Well, there's been a bit of movement, if you like. Yeah, look, there we go, look. On the website, US launches new strikes on Iran, targeting missile sites and boats. Picture an F-35 there. It's a cool aeroplane, isn't it? Not quite as cool as the F-22, but pretty sleek. Anyway, they're still saying there's a ceasefire. They're still saying there's a ceasefire. Quickly, the US said it launched new strikes on southern Iran targeting Iranian missile sites and boats attempting to place mines, sea mines, in the Straits of Hormuz. The strikes were taken in, quote, self-defense, quote, and were designed to protect our troops from threats posed by Iranian forces, US Central Command said in a statement. Central Command spokesman Captain Tim Hawkins said the US military, quote, continues to defend our forces while using restraint during the ongoing ceasefire. What are you talking about, Tim? Captain Hawkins, what are you talking about? I know he's only following orders, isn't he? He's only doing what he's been told to do. Let's not have a pop at this dude. We'll bomb stuff with F-35s and call it using restraint during an ongoing ceasefire. Well, it's just not a ceasefire. Stop using that word. It's not. There isn't a ceasefire, is there? Trump wants to give diplomacy a chance, the best, biggest possible chance, and I don't blame him for that. I don't. But it's getting a little bit absurd now. Absurd. Sometimes I pronounce that word as I'm saying absurd. I know it's absurd. Sorry, my accent. It's getting a bit absurd now, Donald. Trump, Iran are just not blinking, are they? They're just not going to cave to what you want and what Bibi wants. All right. The Daily Mail, utterly subversive, globalist, anti-British, anti-Western, anti-white slop. Trying to pretend it's not. Look, we got a picture of the fridge. Angela the Fridge Rainer, Big Bird. There, she was at the beach. Hope you've packed the Factor 50, Ange. She's even more pale than me. I mean, she's a ginger, isn't it? Yeah, she'll burn to a crisp if she's not careful. I hope she has packed the Factor 50. She would need to have done. All right. As husband admits embezzling $400,000 of SNP funds to blow on extraordinary shopping list from £35 loo seats, toilet seats, to £125,000 camper van. I thought it was £133,000. Anyway, all right. Critics demand, how could Sturgeon not know? Back in Peter Morrell coming home. Look, I've got this solid silver wine coaster. And Nicola's all like, fan dabby doozy. For people not old enough to remember the Crankies, this is probably wearing thin for you already. It's like, I don't get it. But if you remember the Crankies, it won't stop being funny. All right, the Daily Telegraph, same thing. We'll move on. They go to a slightly different angle. Well, the next question, is it? Sturgeon must come clean over husband's £400,000 theft. Yeah, people are just not buying it, love. People don't buy it. It's not really possible that you couldn't have known, is it? All right, the Financial Times, again, it was hot yesterday. Get it? Iran energy shock starts to squeeze real wages in world's richest countries. War halts pay recovery. Wasn't really much for a pay recovery, was there? Massive inflation, including wage inflation. Well, not enough wage inflation to keep up with price inflation. So was there ever much of a pay recovery going on? But war has made it even worse. Straight impasse propels prices. Yeah. Oh, should we have a look at oil? I actually haven't looked at this morning. What actually is it? What have we got? Okay. West Texas, just shy of $92 a barrel. Brent, about 98. Is that 98 or 96? I think it's 98. Is that 98? $98 a barrel. So both of them under $100 a barrel. Okay. US, UK and Europe hit. Diplomacy intensifies. I mean, Rubio and the Donald can intensify diplomacy all they want. The bottom line is that regime in Tehran are quite simply refusing to give up what they think is their right, or is supposed is their right, to enrich uranium. Oh, the Pope had a pop at AI. I'm very suspicious of AI, aren't I? I talk about that a number of times. Tweeted about it. I think it can be beneficial in some small ways. Medical science, medical research, for example, stuff like that. Designing like new types of engines or something. Various things the human mind is sort of not capable of. Extreme math problems or something. Okay. So in a limited sense, but in loads of other ways, extremely worrying and concerning. Could be used, ultimately used against us. The Pope has got similar worries, fears. Yeah, AI is going to use its powers against us. Pope says AI needs to be disarmed in warning over tech's idolatry of profit. Didn't they say that's a line from Lord of the Rings? I have seen the Lord of the Rings a number of times, half a dozen times probably. Apparently that's a Gandalf line. I don't remember it that well. It's been a few, even though I've seen Lord of the Rings a bunch of times, I haven't seen it in a long time. 10 years more probably. Is that, they're saying that's a Gandalf line. I don't remember. The idolatry of profit. Sounds a bit commie to me. That Pope is a bit, he is a bit red, isn't he? All right. I'll get it in here from Faris for saying that in a minute. Get Connor on the blower. Don't criticise our boy in the Vatican. I'm only mucking about. I love Faris and Connor. All right, the Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. World globalist slop, of course. No different from all the others. Even though it tries to pretend it's on your side. It's not. But again, it was a hot day. It was so hot that people on beaches needed sort of sun parasols, effectively. Umbrellas to keep the direct sunlight off. Or a brolly. I think a lot of people outside of Britain don't call umbrellas brollies. So if you don't, look. Bank brolly day. Perhaps if you're American, you might not, like, what's that? What's a brolly day? It rhymes with holiday. A brolly, an umbrella, banked brolly day. You get it. Tories say generation of UK families risk being locked out of property ownership. You know, don't risk it. It is happening. It has happened. It is happening. It's not at risk of happening. Migrants will get half of all new homes. Right. I mean, what did you expect? We haven't got enough homes anyway. And then you flood us with net hundreds of thousands of more a year. Gross. Over a million. Like 2023, 2024, 1.5 million new people came in. That's insane. That's an insane number. Even just 1-2 years ago, it was still like, what, 700,000 or 800,000. Last year, it was a merely 170,000. Net. That's net. So the actual number was way more. The actual number in was like something like 700,000 or 800,000. But net, it was about 170,000. Some of this, either way, insane numbers, suicidal level scale of number of people. And migrants will get half of all new homes. I suspect it'd be way more than that. And, you know, the Tories, it's rich, isn't it? The Tories are complaining that it locks UK families and younger people out of the housing market. I don't want to hear from the Tories about it. I don't want to hear from the Tories. Yesterday, there was all in the news that they were complaining about Shabana Mahmood's policy, border policy. The Tories complaining. Wasn't it you guys that did this? By and large. Wasn't it the 14 years of Tory rule that has largely led to all of this? It was, wasn't it? The Tory immigration minister, or is he even the shadow home secretary, that Philip? Is it Chris Philip? Anyway, him sending a letter to Shabana Mahmood saying, we demand that you guys leave the ECHR and get much, much more tougher on illegal migrants, that they're all deported within a week. You guys had 14 years to do that sort of thing. And every single day of that 14 years you chose not to do it. Do I have any faith or trust that you would do it if you got back into power? No, none. Your leader, Olukemi Badenoch, was gloating about student visas, foreign student visas. She might play the political game that it's in her interest now to seem or be more hardline about it all. But that's who she really was. A foreign cuckoo in the nest, a fifth columnist, a Nigerian person. Oh, the Tories, if they got back into power, they'd leave the ECHR and send all illegal migrants back within a week. No, they wouldn't. They would just waste time for years, make up some nonsense boondoggle like that Rwanda thing, which was only ever a one-in-one-out program. That's what they would do, the same thing. And then go, oh, we can't, you know, the cults won't let us do... We're trying. They did that for 14 years. But now we're supposed to believe that the Tories would be super tough on all of this if only they were back in power. No. Don't buy it. Why would we buy that? Why would anyone in their right mind go along with that, believe that? We need something far tougher than Reform and Nigel and Zia Yusuf. Most of their policies are, in fact, milquetoast, aren't they? You had Robert Jenrick on Trevor Phillips the other morning, and Trevor Phillips was like, look, here's a list of restore policies about what they would do to illegal and legal migration. Robert Jenrick, what are you going to do? And he just ummed and ahed and prevaricated and was made to look silly. Because it's not true that there's no real difference between Reform and Restore's immigration policies. They're worlds apart. One's based on all the literature, on all the leaflets, Restore leaflets. It says they will reverse legal migration. And if millions must go, then millions must go. Of course, illegal migration will be reversed and deport all foreign criminals, all foreign migrants, rather. Illegal ones, you know, Reform, Zia and Nigel just about summoned the balls to match that policy. Oh, well done. Yeah, well done. That's complete centrist dad policy, really, isn't it? Yeah, brilliant. Well done. When you talk about legal migration, suddenly Reform haven't got any balls. Suddenly they're like, someone like Trevor Phillips said, so you would take citizenship away from legal migrants. And they're like, I don't want to seem racist. You know, Nigel needs to go on Laura Koenigsberg in the future, so we can't say be racist. He needs to go on Radio 4 at some point. When he's grilled by Robert Peston or Krishnan Guru Murphy, he needs to be able to say he's not racist, doesn't he? Needs to go there clutching his pearls and wringing in his hands in apologetics against people that might call him racist. That's Reform. Meanwhile, Restore, like, no, get rid of them. If millions must go, they must go. If you can't speak English, if you're claiming any sort of benefits, you're a legal migrant, but you're claiming benefits, or you can't speak English, out you get. There's a world of difference. There's daylight between Reform and Restore. People trying to claim there's no difference. Rupert and Restore is just a pointless revenge project. No, not at all. No, their policies are really quite different. One's based and in the interests of this nation and the people, the natives of this country, and one isn't. The other one, Reform, is just more uni-party, WEF-adjacent, globalist containment. And Rupert isn't that. Oh, he's a Tory plant. Rupert's a Tory plant. No, he isn't. What a ridiculous argument. Rupert's a Tory plant. Okay. Sure. No one really buys that. The amount of straw clutching and copium huffing from reform tards. It's off the charts. All right, The Mirror. Some of the very, very worst slop in The Mirror. I just had a real pop at Reform there, didn't I? I'm going to back them up a little bit now. How about that? I'm going to back them up a little bit. All right, first of all, It's a record baker. You know, sounds a little bit like record breaker, doesn't it? Record baker. Got it, you got it. All right. How about this? Vile posts. Candidate backed. It's weird English, isn't it? Vile posts, candidate backed. Why are you writing like that? The Mirror. So the Mirror's got real bad reform derangement syndrome, isn't it? Farage derangement syndrome. Far worse than me. I'll give Nigel a reform credit sometimes. I just had a pop at Zia Yusuf, right? I don't want him as my Home Secretary. No, thank you. But does he come out and say some base things? And say and reflect reality accurately sometimes? Yes, yeah. I'll give him that. It would be mad to... for me, anyway. It would be mad to try and pretend that's not the case. Right, but they've got the Mirror. And a lot of the corporate mainstream media have got full-blown Nigel derangement syndrome, haven't they? Anything, any tiny thing they can get, they can say to try and undermine him, they will. Okay, this is a thing. Revolting, repulsive reform. Carol Vorderman. This haggard old sack of crap, Carol Vorderman, who used to be mildly attractive 30 years ago. Who used to be on Countdown. Used to get the letters out on Countdown. I'd have a consonant, please, Carol. C. Carol Vorderman. Wasn't she on How To as well? Do you remember that? Her politics are completely insane. Like, open borders, completely leftist. Like, arch leftist, she is. Like, insanely so. Revoltingly so. Like, pro care for Calais type. Like, she wants the women of this country to be unsafe type. So she's a disgusting, disgusting individual. Some people fancy her, though. Some people think she's, like, physically attractive. She's got to be knocking 70 now, hasn't she? How old is she? Does it even say? I don't think it says. She's got to be... I don't know how old she is, but... She's not young. You might look at that picture and think, oh, she's, like, 40, 45. No, she's much older than that. She had a lot of work done. All right, so that's Carol Vorderman. If you don't know, if you're American or something. She's just been on British TV for years and years and years. That's all you need to know. Right. So... But the reform candidate in the Makerfield by-election, that dude, Robert, isn't it? Robert Kenyon, who's just like a really normal... I quite like him, to be honest. He seems all right to me. He's like a normal working-class northern plumber dude. Sort of fairly based, more like a centrist dad, but on the right, ever so right of centre plumber from Wigan. That's who he is. That's who he is, fundamentally, right? I got no problem with him, personally. I mean, he's standing for the wrong party. Robert, come over to Restore. One of us. Defect to Restore. If you win the seat, just come on over. Come on over. I should stop just singing like that. I should stop breaking into song. Robert Kenyon said some... blue things about Carol Vorderman. In my opinion, funny. I can't really repeat them because it's the Beau Show, Breakfast with Beau. The whole idea is that it's like really quite clean because there may be little kids, may well be little kids in the room. If the parents are watching this or listening to it in the car, I'm supposed to not swear. And if anything really like blue, he's blue. Anything blue comes up, I've got to keep it PG-13 at worst, if not less than that. So I'm not going to say what he said, but it was that he liked Carol Vorderman. He liked her and various parts of her body. He was a fan of. I'll leave it at that. It was crude. It's obviously a joke as well. Well, in my opinion. Just a normal working class dude who didn't probably think he would ever stand for Parliament. Just saying something that is quite crude. That's it. That's all. But people that hate reform and Nigel and anything that's to the right of, like, the Lib Dems will obviously jump on it, won't they? They'll obviously jump on it. Say it's revolting, it's repulsive. She's demanding an apology from him. Don't apologise, mate. If I were you, Robert, don't apologise. They don't want an apology, really. They don't care. If you did apologise, they wouldn't be like, oh, it's all fine then. Oh, cool, walk under a bridge. Walk under the bridge. We're all good. Great, we can all move on. No, there's no point apologising. Double down, if anything. I love a good double down in the face of a demanded apology. No. In fact, you apologise to me for demanding an apology from me. How dare you? Apologise. But I'm not sorry. I made what I thought was a joke. A blue, crude joke. But I was obviously joking. I'm not going to apologise. If you really want an apology as well. Vile posts. Calm down. Other people saying, oh, it's misogyny. He's a misogynist. Get a sense of humour, really. Well, that's what Reform decided to do. When this has been in the news cycle now for like a day or so, they decided, at least for now, that they're going to try and stand by him. They wheeled out Danny Kruger. Revolting, anti-British, anti-white containment machine, Danny Kruger. Revolting specimen, Danny Kruger. They wheeled him out to play defence on behalf of Robert Kenyon. He said, he's just an ordinary man. It's a fair point, actually. It's not a bad angle of attack or riposte. Yeah, he's just an ordinary... He's a plumber. He's a northern plumber, dude. He's just an ordinary man. That's the sort of thing that ordinary people say thinks funny to put on Twitter. So, no big deal. All right, so that's it. At the moment... Reform are standing by their man. Stand by your man. And I hope they do. I hope they do. This whole paradigm. Someone stands for something, office, and they dig out something, anything. It doesn't have to be much at all. In fact, it can be entirely taken out of context. Like quoting Edward I, a very, very, very famous quote of Edward I. about the Scottish, and they pretend that's just what you think about all Scots now. Doesn't have to be, they can take almost anything that you've said and then try and get you cancelled or deselected or whatever, just ruin you. I really do think that paradigm needs to change. I mean, if it's really bad, I mean genuinely bad, then okay. But it's just, he made a crude joke about Carol Vorderman. Should that disbar him ever? Because the thing is, what it leads to ultimately, if you do that, if you always do that, what you end up with is a parliament full of nothing people. You end up with a parliament full of people that are sheep and not lions. You end up with a parliament full of people who wouldn't say boo to a goose. Who've kept their powder dry their whole life. Who are boring. Who don't have any guts, any chutzpah. Don't have any fire in their belly at all. They're just weak nothing, empty shirts. That's the result of that. Isn't it? Is that what we want? It's not what I want. I wouldn't mind people that say edgy stuff, spicy stuff. And that's not just self-serving. I mean, it is a bit, for me. But I genuinely think that. I honestly do think that. I would rather people, politicians even. I mean, if it's insane, if it's like criminal, they've said something truly libelous or really, really insane, like a genocidal stuff or whatever. Okay, all right. There is a point. I'm not mad. There is a point above which, okay, maybe this person who said that isn't fit for office. But... you know, he made a rude joke. He was joking in a really quite a rude manner about Carol Vorderman. So what? So what? But that's what they do, isn't it? That's what they've always done for years and years and years. Just get someone, like, you're not allowed even remotely near, not a sniff of power if you're not, unless you're a nothing person. It's not good. It's not healthy, I don't think. Party defends by-election hopeful after lewd comments about star Carol. She's not really a star. She was barely a star 20, 30 years ago. She's insufferable, actually. Insufferable. She demands an apology as Angela Rayner hits out at misogynistic abuse. Abuse. Misogynistic abuse. Yeah, right. Pipe down, Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird. Just pipe down. You're a moron. A moron. All right, The Independent. It's already gone past nine. I'll whip through this then. The Independent. Look, it's a hot day, remember? Bank Brawler Day, yeah. Drugs death in jails have soared, new figures reveal. Chief Inspector of Prisons demands ministers get a grip on the crisis as tactics for smuggling lethal substances into jails have escalated to drones that are able to deliver up to 11 kilograms of drugs at a time. All right. The Star. Complete slop. England kit hits the fan. There's some sort of new app you can get which tells you if your kit is legit or whether it's a rip-off one. The Sun. Jail scrutiny scandal. Screw got cheeky after Anando's. So again, if you find, you might not know that a slang for a prison guard is a screw. The prison guard got cheeky, made a sex tape in a prison cell after a Nando's. So this woman, this thing, was a prison guard. And instead of just doing the job of being a prison guard, she smuggled in a chicken dinner, Nando's, to this guy. And then, like, had sexual relations with him in his cell and it was filmed. Okay, well, she shouldn't be a prison guard, should she? And that's weird and gross on a number of levels. But is it front page news? The Sun thinks so. The Sun thinks that's national front page news. All right, they're the papers. Should we have a look at our poll? We do a poll every day, don't we, here on Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show. Should we have a look at that? Harry, if you can bring that up on my screen. Thank you very much. We ask you guys, did Nicola Wee Jimmy Cranky Sturgeon know about her husband's crimes? We asked you. Just shy or a little shy of 1,000 votes. An overwhelming. The eyes have it to an overwhelming degree. 97% of you say yes. Wee Jimmy Cranky would have known about her husband's crimes. 3% say no. Even though the benefit of the doubt, I suppose. Right, an overwhelming victory for the eyes there. All right, it's already gone past nine. Should we do On This Day in History? Should we do that bit? I like that bit. I don't mind that bit. These guys seem to like me doing that bit. On this day, on the 26th of May, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Should we have a look? What have we got today? What's this website served us up today? All right. On this day in 1896, the Dow Jones Industrial Average begins. It's interesting. With an average of 12 industrial stocks, just 12. The daily closing value is 40.9. That's interesting. If you'd asked me when the Dow Jones began, I probably would have put it a bit later than that. But there you go. I mean, America was already going through like stock market crashes in the 1870s. There's a big one in the age of, in the time of Ulysses S. Grant's second administration in like the 1870s. Okay, there you go. Dow Jones started on this day in 1896. On this day in 1908, at Masjid Suleiman in southwest Persia, the first major commercial oil strike in the Middle East is made. Rights acquired by the United Kingdom. There's a reason why modern day Iran says and thinks, they obviously hate Israel, don't they? Some of their leaders in the past have said they would just roll Israel into the sea if they could. They also hate the United States. They call it like the Great Satan, don't they? They also don't really like the United Kingdom. I can't remember what they call. They call us like the duplicitous fox or something. I can't remember what one of their terms. They think we're, well, they're not entirely wrong. They think that the United Kingdom, over the years, has screwed with them pretty badly, and that we can't be trusted. We're like a duplicitous fox, cunning fox, always looking to screw them over. A little bit, if you look at history, a little bit. At least three or four times in history, you look at that and you're like, oh, yeah, that's difficult to justify. Like the invasion in 1943, most people in World War II, most people don't know about that. The Soviets and the British just invaded Iran, or Persia, in the middle of World War II, just to make sure the Germans didn't ever... The Germans probably weren't ever going to get there, but there's like strategic oil interests and certain railroads and things. But I mean, even right at 1908, already striking oil in Persia, and the UK's just there, that's ours now. That's just ours. Oh, well, you can't stop us, so it's ours now. Oh, well. On this day in 1927, Henry Ford and the Ford Motor Company produced the last and 15 millionth Model T Ford, the Tin Lizzie. There you go. I like my cars, don't I? If I had endless money, I'd Bill Gates money, I wouldn't mind owning, you know, like a restored Model T. Obviously the convertible there. I think they're kind of cool. I wouldn't drive it around on the street, so I'd probably just keep it in a garage. There you go, the Model T. Model T. Production line, Henry Ford. Boom. All right, on this day in 1948, South Africa elects a nationalist government under D.F. Malan. Is that how you pronounce it? With an apartheid policy. In 1972, US President Richard Nixon and Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev signed the SALT I agreement in Moscow, limiting anti-ballistic missile systems and placing the first major restraints on the US-Soviet nuclear arms race. Yeah, very interesting that. I'm fascinated by Nixon. On my own channel, go to... On my own channel, History Bro. That's not real, by the way. History Bro hasn't actually got 100,000 subscribers. I would like it if you did. Do consider going over there and giving it a sub. On my own channel, History Bro, though, I've got a whole series, a long-form series all about Richard Nixon. It's basically about the Watergate scandal, but I talk all about Nixon. Everything you need to know about Nixon, really. Anyway, I'm fascinated by the figure of Richard Nixon. And those SALT talks were really important, I think. I mean, 1972, he hasn't got long left. It's only like a year or more before he's forced to resign, Nixon. But yeah, the SALT talks, and then later, non-nuclear proliferation treaties and nuclear reduction treaties. Yeah, important, fascinating stuff. Fascinated also by nukes and the history of nukes and the arms race and all that stuff. You've got to give Nixon credit. I mean, when you look at the Watergate thing, the whole Watergate scandal, Nixon was caught, 100% caught lying, like quite badly, over and over and over again. But in loads of other things, loads of other policies, Nixon was really good. In loads of other ways, Nixon was great. He did some great things as president. I mean, bombing Cambodia wasn't probably not great. Domestically, I mean, some price caps he did. So he did some price caps. That probably wasn't great. But in a number of other ways, Richard Nixon was good. Yeah, trying to open up China and the reduction of nukes and things with the Russians. You know, drawing the Cold War down. Like, basically moving from a period where the Russians and the Americans might nuke each other into oblivion to a world where it's not really likely. I'll give Richard Nixon a bit of credit for that, if nothing else, right? If nothing else. Old tricky dick. All right, On this day in 2004, US Army veteran Terry Nichols is found guilty of 161 state murder charges for helping carry out the Oklahoma City bombing. Yeah, along with Timothy McVeigh, right? The Oklahoma City bombing. Oh, it was a terrible one. Terrible one. What was it, in the mid-90s? Was it 1995? I think it was 1995. I was old enough to remember it. There's all sorts of theories. I was going to say conspiracy theories, but I'll just say theories. There's all sorts of other theories about that. What that really was. What really went down there. I mean, it was a big bomb. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm not saying. But like the motivations of Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, why they really did it and various other things. I won't go into it here, but all you need to know is they made a massive truck bomb and drove it up to the front of a big federal building in Oklahoma City and blew it up, and half the building sheared off. Hundreds of people killed, including loads of little kids. Like, they said they didn't know, but in that building, it was a big building, you know, like a 10, 15 story building or whatever, a big, really big building. And somewhere in that building was like a creche or like a child daycare thing. So loads of the people that died in that were kids. And they apparently, according to them anyway, they only really wanted to get back at the federal government. They just wanted to blow up a federal government building. And they said they didn't know that there was like a daycare thing there. Ugh. And anyway, other people have got all sorts of other theories about who exactly Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh really were and what their real motivations were and who might have been behind them. Was anyone else ever, you know, put on trial for all of this? No, it's just them, apparently. It's just those two guys. What was their connection exactly to the FBI? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Okay. All right. Before I get in real trouble. I'm not suicidal. Let's do the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. All right, Rumble Rants first. Always do Rumble Rants first. For T and Barber, I think I saw Global Church History on the YouTube one, so I won't say he's been defeated. Anyway, two Rumble Rants here. First one, for T and Barber. Morning, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Are you all right? I hope you are. You say, I met Jimmy Cranky once. Jeanette Tough, you met the living legend, Jeanette Tough. I think she's still alive. I met Jimmy Cranky once. Her husband took offence when I asked if she was Alex Salmon. Sorry, Nicola Sturgeon. Has anyone ever seen Jeanette Tough and Nicola Sturgeon in the same room at the same time? Just asking. They might be the same person. I don't, you know, it's just, okay, you met Nicola Sturgeon once and her husband got offended. Have you noticed reform are not in favour of a general election now? Weird, yeah. Yeah. Nigel and reform could very, very, very easily be dominating, couldn't they, in the polls? They could be up at 40, 50, maybe more in the polls if they were just based on nativist and saying things that would actually save this country, that normal patriotic working class, or not even working class, just normal patriotic nativist peoples of these islands need to hear, that you're going to save us from a demographic destruction, that you're going to try and stave off our replacement in our one and only ancestral homeland, that you'll go to war with organized crime, things like that, that you'll save us from a sectarian nightmare. But that's not what you say. That's not what you hear. You gloat about trying to destroy people that do say that. If Nigel went down that route, he didn't pander to the likes of Christian Guru Murphy and Laura Koenigsberg and Carol Vorderman. But that's not what Nigel made the calculation. No, I've got to be completely normie boomer friendly. Everything's got to be within the paradigm of like Robert Peston friendly. I've got to be able to go on Radio 4 and seem like the good guy. That's more important than actually saving the country. Well, there you go. Well, so now you're polling at what, 25% or whatever it is, I don't know. You're polling a little bit above Labour and Conservative rather than absolutely dominating them. I said this all along. I said this back when I was in Reform, or before I was in Reform, arguing with people on Twitter. They say, no, you have to be Radio 4 friendly. There's no other way to win government otherwise. You have to do that. You have to play within the paradigm of anti-racism and all that crap. Otherwise, you will never, ever, ever win a seat, ever. Nigel's doing the right thing, the only thing. No, nonsense. No, that's cowardly. That's slave talk. That's defeatism, essentially, as far as I'm concerned. That's nonsense. And when Nigel's saying, we can't alienate Islam, then we lose. We lose. No, the exact opposite, actually. People don't want to hear that. So, yeah, so you're not dominating the polls. So you're just above Labour and Conservative. When you should be polling at 50, 60%, maybe more. Should be crushing it with ease everywhere. Nigel had that chance and threw it away because he's a political coward. Because he hasn't got a spine. Cretin of a man. Hypno-toad. Loser. Okay. Fallen Firebird says, the continued dominance of the SNP in Scotland is a sad monument to democracy's evils. Yeah, that's a good way of characterising it. Yeah. You just know that normie Scots see Scottish National and ticket without caring about the insanity within. Yeah, I'm afraid so. Yeah, I'm afraid that is the case. It looks like it, doesn't it? Now, there's loads of people in Scotland who are just, they hate the English and they hate Westminster and they want to be independent at any cost, even if it means ruining their own country. Well, anyone that still votes SNP, that is the case, isn't it? And the SNP did quite well at the last local elections, if nothing else. They're not at their all-time highs, but still many, many, many SNP voters in Scotland. Okay, vote SNP then and get flooded with Palestinians. Specifically Palestinians as well. Heavily militant Islamists. That's what the SNP will give you. And price caps. Okay, all right. Enjoy not being ruled from Westminster then. Enjoy that. Psychos. All right, should we have a look at the only two rubber rents this morning? Harry, can you bring up the YouTube super chats and we'll have a look at those, see what we've got today. All right, there's about a dozen or so. Let's read them. Global Church History in at number one is flipped over to YouTube like the old days. And he is in at number one. And still. Reigning, defending, undisputed, you say. Today, in 1805, Napoleon was crowned King of Italy. That's interesting. I've talked about Napoleon for hours and hours and hours on end on my history-themed channel, history-themed show, Bowday's Epochs, on loadcetus.com behind the paywall. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, promise to your membership. Yes, I do. Yeah. Of course, anyone who knows their Napoleon will know that Napoleon's Italian campaigns were long before 1805, wasn't it? You've got like, what, the Battle of Lodi. That's back in the end of the 18th century, like 1795, 1797, when he basically conquers northern Italy. And then back a few years later, right, in Piedmont, the Marengo. That's a brilliant one, the Battle of Marengo. It's against the Austrians, but it's in northern Italy. So the French and Napoleon had already conquered, well, it wasn't all of Italy. It wasn't all of Italy. A big chunk of northern Italy. But still, by 1805, when he's the emperor at that point, isn't he? He's the emperor of the French. Le Empereur. He decides, I'm done with like a puppet vassal state in Italy, northern Italy. I'm just going to completely annex it. Just make it part of my kingdom, my empire. I'll make myself king of Italy. And he did. Later, he made his son king of Rome, didn't he? We can do that sort of stuff when you're an emperor, a conquering emperor. Okay, thanks, Global Church History. Next one. Jankus the Great? Is that what it says? It's all one long thing, right? I think it's Jankus the Great. Jankus the Great says, it's 1 a.m. in USA right now. Oh, well, thanks for staying up. Thanks for staying up. Appreciate it. Thanks for the super chat there. Late Night Bo. The Late Night Bo Show. The Late Late Show with Bo Dade. Okay, Kick You in the Throat, that's their name, at Kick You in the Throat, says, losing weight, looking skinny, don't leave, don't go. Well, that's kind, that's nice of you to say. The other week I had, I'm not, by the way, I'm not losing weight. Well, I don't think so anyway. If I am, it's very, very marginal. I do need to lose a bit. I've always been quite a svelte, skinny guy. Over the last few years, where I'm in my mid-40s now, starting to get a little bit of a paunch. Just a little bit. I wouldn't call myself fat or obese, but I used to have like an effortless, not exactly a six pack, but really lean my whole adult life. But at the minute, I've got a little bit of, I need to do something about it, really do. So the fact that you're saying, asking if I'm losing weight, I like it, I like that. If I am, it's only a very, very small amount. The other week, within the space of 2 or 3 days and various comments, I had one person call me obese. And one person called me emaciated. It's like, I can't be both, can I? Make up your mind, guys. I need to lose a little bit. So that's kind of, I like that. Thanks, Kick You in the Throat. Appreciate that. All right. AC1D Helm says, as a Scot, I think what you did was funny AF. Okay. Oh, the thing I did where I talked about Longshanks. And then they wanted me to apologise. Reform. And hope not hate, like wanting me to apologise. And I was like, no, I'll make more jokes then about smackheads and tramps and buckfast or whatever. Yeah, no, I'm not apologising, no. Can poke that. I think that's what you're referring to. You think it was funny AF. Also, there's no effing way she didn't know. Yeah. Awfully convenient that he waited till after the elections to confess. Yeah, that's another good point, right, yeah. That his trial was just after these local elections, right? Of course, he personally couldn't have contrived that, I don't think. That does make you think the police or the CPS or the Scottish equivalent of the CPS were sort of sympathetic to the SNP. Because this thing's been going on for years, a few years. They were first arrested and questioned and their house raided a while ago. 2-3 years ago, was it? I can't remember. A while ago. But the authorities decided to leave the trial until just after this last set of elections. Yeah, convenient, isn't it? Convenient. Are the police or the Scottish equivalent of the CPS in cahoots with the SNP? Like how it was so convenient that Nicola Sturgeon was able to resign just in time before that, those first raids and arrests. Makes you think, doesn't it? Okay, Kick You in the Throat again for a bit more money. Thanks for that money. Says Anglosphere fun fact. Ooh, I like those. Says, the Venus flytrap is native to a 100-mile radius in the Carolinas. Discovered by English Governor Arthur Dobbs, 1759, in coastal bog and named by botanist John Ellis 10 years later. The Venus flytrap. All right. That's interesting. Yeah, if you'd asked me, I didn't know that. That is interesting. I didn't know that was native to the Carolinas. If you'd asked me, I would have said, like, the jungles of Southeast Asia or something. That's interesting to know. All right. The Venus flytrap is native to the Carolinas. Well, you learn something new every day. Thank you for that. And I'm not being sarcastic. I like factoids. Okay. Pants Hader. Or Pants Hader says, on this day in 2016, a First War Lady Snickers. On this day in 2016, a First War Lady Snickers. I don't know what you're talking about. Is that something to do with Hillary Clinton, is it? I'm sorry, sir. I'm not sure exactly what you mean. Again, whenever I don't get it, I feel like I'm just being super dumb and it's really obvious what you're talking about. 2016, a First War Ladies Snickers. I can only imagine it's something to do with Hillary Clinton. I mentioned her earlier in the show, didn't I? Okay, thanks for the super chat anyway. apologies for being thick, to not get what you're saying, what you mean. All right, kick you in the throat again, says, did you see the Vox Populi video from Restore Makerfield going around? Will Coleshill interviews this campaigner who cooks for 13 minutes straight. Yeah, Frankie. He's still breathing, Frankie. Yeah, Frank Wright. I can't remember if it's Wright or Writer. But Frank, yeah, yeah. On the State of Politics. Disdain Cam, Harry. On my other channel, I do with Mr. H Reviews, State of Politics. State of Politics. On our Sunday night live stream, every Sunday, 8 p.m. We talked all about it, yeah. And there'll be a video going out, or it went out already, either yesterday or today, a video of us, 10, 15, even maybe 20 minutes, probably more like 20 minutes, talking all about that, watching the video and talking all about it, reacting to it. Yeah, he's great. He's well good. I went on Twitter to follow him, realised he already follows me. Nice. We follow each other now. I think we might be asking, I don't know, don't hold me to this. I'm not in charge of any of this. I think we might be asking, inviting him on here. He could talk very well, couldn't he? He knew what he was talking about. He seemed to know his history, absolutely. Know his politics. Got it all straight in his mind. That's difficult enough. And then eloquent enough to just... Bleh. Our Frank. Yeah, I did watch it. It was great. He's brilliant. He's like a ready to rock and roll politician. Ready to go. Ready made. You can imagine him standing up in Parliament fearlessly and just saying his piece. Love it. Yeah. We might ask him on State of Politics as well. I think we did. I think Nate did. I don't know. Again. Well, we'll see. But yeah, I saw that and he was really good. It was all our talking points, really. Basically. Based. It's a difficult thing to... Well, it's a double whammy of things, right? One, that you've got all basically all the correct takes, as far as we're concerned. But then the ability to express it well. It's quite rare, seemingly quite rare. Most people, it's difficult for them. Some people sometimes come on here and they're like a Gold Tier membership call or something. And there's no pressure, really. But they're like, they're all nervous and they're all like, they can't speak. So it's not everyone's jam. It's not everyone's thing to be able to do that. But that Frank Wright, or is it Writer? He's got it, whatever it is. That je ne sais quoi. He seems to have it. Good. Great. All right. Mr. Dicky Bingo. Not Dinky Bingo. I once said that wrong. I think the first time he was on here, I called him Mr. Dinky Bingo. It's Dicky Bingo. Mr. Dicky Bingo. Met him in real life. Great dude. How are you this morning, sir? All good, I hope. Met him IRL. Fantastic chap. Super fan. He says, we English must never, capital letters, never give up our sense of humour. Yeah, quite right. Yeah, quite right. You should be able to make jokes. Like, do you remember the reform dude the other day where he said, he said something like, we should melt down African people to fill in the potholes. And he got, like, cancelled and deselected and thrown out or whatever, I believe. That's obviously a joke, isn't it? That's obviously a joke. I'll accept it's in slightly bad taste. Right? But he wasn't calling for that to actually literally physically happen, was he? But that's where we are. Oh, you said a bad taste joke. Oh, well, then you can't ever get anywhere near the levels of power then. Really? Really? You can't have a sense of humour. Even an off-colour sense of humour. You can't have one. You end up with a parliament of freaks. You end up with a parliament of nobodies. Nowhere men and women. They've got no guts. Yeah, you're right. I'll never give up my sense of humour. If it's have a political career or give up your sense of humour, I pick the sense of humour. 100%. 100%. All right. Muscles Glacius doesn't say anything and just gives a little bit of money there in a super chat. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Cheers. Last couple here today. Naughty Ewok. That's the name. Naughty Ewok says, vote SNP, pay billions to Palestine. Amazing. Dot, dot, dot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They came out. I said that, didn't I? I'm not making it up out of whole cloth. I'm not making it up. SNP, not that long ago, a few weeks ago, or whatever, a couple months ago, said it was their policy. They want some sort of program to get as many Palestinians into Scotland as possible. Or just thousands and thousands of them. And in Bowes, Britain, I would look at proscribing SNP for something like that. You're acting against the interests of the nation, of the people, by doing that. That's mad. You're putting people in danger. That's disgusting. If not proscribe them, just from Westminster, at least say no. You're not doing that. No. Westminster's just going to put a complete veto on that. That's mental and disgusting. Why would you do that? Why would you want to bring, statistically, there would be terrorists among those people? There just would be. That's what you want for Scotland, is it? Nutters. Freaks and nutters. Vote SNP, pay billions to Palestine. Yeah, or just bring them over. Just bring them over. The SNP. A revolting thing. A revolting thing. And corrupt. Or at least were under the Peter Morrell years. You can't do me for libel. It's a matter of fact now. He's pleaded guilty. So at least during his years, just were corrupt. A matter of record now. Okay. Pardon me. And the last one from Naughty Ewok again says, today is the anniversary of Operation Dynamo 2. Oh, Operation Dynamo, off the top of my head. Harry, quickly Google Operation Dynamo. It's ringing a bell, but I can't remember exactly what that is. Sorry, Harry's going to bring it up for me now. Operation Dynamo. Why is it? Why don't I know that? I feel like I know it, but I don't. Operation Dynamo. Oh, the miracle. Okay, the miracle of Dunkirk. Right, okay. Yeah, so it's the anniversary of it. Right. The Battle for France, when Mr. Hitler and Guderian's panzer divisions overran France real quick, and the British Expeditionary Force in France at the time had to run away, and get back to England, fight on for another day, evacuating as many people as we can across the Channel from Dunkirk, leaving loads of materiel and tanks and big guns there. The Germans could have crushed us there. There could have been an unbelievable massacre on the beaches of Dunkirk if they'd wanted to. They actually chose not to. They hoped, Mr. Hitler hoped, that he might still be able to make some sort of peace deal with Mr. Churchill. But Mr. Churchill wasn't having it. Okay, that is the last Rumble Rant and Super Chats for the day. So that's the show. It's now 33 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Tuesday, 26th of May, in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it's not a thing. It really isn't. Thank you for watching. I appreciate it. I can't say that enough. I can't say it with enough sincerity. I can't tell you how much I really, really, really mean it. Without you guys, it's nothing. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. All right. I hope you make the best of the day ahead. Try not to overheat. Try not to get burnt or die of sunstroke. Do try to achieve that if you can. Otherwise, enjoy it, right? If you can, enjoy it. Have an ice cream or whatever. Try and make the best of the day ahead, as always, as every day. Carpe diem, seize the day, if you can. You'll only have this day once in history. Once it's gone, it's gone. All right, then. Until tomorrow.